Let's just pray before I begin. Loving God, encircle us as we explore your nature this morning. Father, enliven us. Jesus, enlighten us. Spirit, entwine us. Amen. So, Trinity Sunday. But it also falls in our series where we're looking at the whole book of Acts and following through Acts. So you might be wondering how on earth that reading that we've just read is going to launch into a conversation and an exploration of the Trinity. Well, bear with me. You will see how it all works. Because actually, it is one of the perfect readings to have as we begin to explore Trinity. Now, those of you who prefer to be fiddling and doing something whilst you listen because it helps you, I invite you to take your Play-Doh this morning and to either you can make three strands and begin plaiting or practice plaiting, that's classic threes, into one plait, or, do you know what, try and model who you believe God to be in Play-Doh. You might be influenced by something that you hear as I speak. But anyway, I'll be intrigued to see what you come up with. Anyway, those of you who like to fiddle as you listen. So, the Trinity, it's really challenging. And often it's a concept that stops people coming to faith, actually. They can't get their heads around this thing that we talk about where there's three, but they're one, but the one is also three. That doesn't work. And for lots of people, that's where they leave it. And then they can't follow any further. And sadly, they are probably not here. But you might also be here going, I really struggle with that too, and I don't get it. And you may just choose to ignore it and go, God, there you go, one, and carry on. Or you may wrestle with it constantly and not quite get it, or you may love it. It may be a concept that really inspires you. I wonder where you're at, but if it's one of those two in the middle, I encourage you today to just be open-minded and explore God in perhaps a new way that we're going to look at now. So, how do we reconcile three in one? Well, rationally and logically, we can't. Three things can never be one thing. That's just a physical impossibility. So actually, God is then beyond our understanding and must be mysterious and there you go, sermon ended. No, I'm joking. But actually, often people do say, oh, God is just mysterious and beyond our understanding, and we just have to accept that. And if you can, then wonderful, I am happy for you. I never can. I want to ask questions. I always want to know more. So I don't think that's always a very helpful, it may be true, but it's not necessarily the most helpful way of trying to grasp who God is. Instead, we're going to find a way to sit somehow within that uncertainty and mystery. And we're going to see if there are little strands of something that we can grasp hold of within the mystery rather than just accepting a mystery. Okay, so we're going to sit today with a little bit. Now, one of the ways that we can sit with this mystery is with Scripture. Scripture can actually help us to sit with who God is, so that we can draw nearer to God, have a greater understanding of who God is. Scripture is actually really helpful for that. We don't just have to sit in the abstract and pray that God inspires us. We will also have that. But sometimes it's helpful to have something to look at, right? Something to follow. And so we are going to use our reading from Acts 4 today that Roy read to us to help us to understand God a little better. Because this passage in Acts falls... We've had Easter, we've had Jesus' death and resurrection, we've had Jesus' ascension, we've had Pentecost. So we have now met Father, Son, and Spirit. We've met God in all aspects, and now we move through Acts and we see God in action. We see the product, the fruit of what God is doing in the world. And through seeing what happens, what the actions are, we can have a greater understanding of who God is. And the key word here is action. We're going to see it. Now, I'm going to take our reading today, and In fact, we can focus on just the first two verses of what Roy read to us. So he brilliantly preceded what had just happened, that there had this been miraculous healing, that Peter and John had healed this lame man who was begging at the temple every single day. So everyone knew him, he'd been there all his life, and he was miraculously healed. But that got them in trouble with the Sanhedrin and the authorities, so they called them before them to give a defence. And this is their defence that we heard today. So I want you to notice, as we look at these first two verses, the action words that are related to Peter and John. Those of you who are sitting there crying out to me, the verbs, Ruth, the verbs, that's the word for it. But I like to use the action language of it, okay? Mainly because those of us who struggled with English at school might switch off at the word verb. So the actions that you see, or you hear, or you notice as we look at this. Roy, could we have the first slide? Because it helps us to sometimes read it and see it. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, that is the rulers and elders and teachers of the law. What do we notice in that verse? Anyone? Said? They spoke? Anything else? Filled. Brilliant, thank you. If you could click on one, Roy, then it helps us to see it. There's the action of filling. There's the action of speaking. Okay, we'll go on to the next one, please, Roy. He said, if we are being called to account for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Where can you see action there, relating specifically to the actions of Peter and John? Kindness? Yeah, an act of kindness shown. I'm going to be bold and combine those and call it love. The action of love, an act of kindness shown. Where else? What else can you see? Yes, they were being called. I'm just going to argue that that's the action of the Sanhedrin. Where else is an action of Peter and John? Healed. If we could have the next slide, please, Roy. There is the action of loving and the action of healing. So if we could have the next slide, let's put all those four together. There was filling, there was speaking, there was loving, and there was healing. Four actions, four ways that we can see God at work. And the reason that I have focused on the actions and these verbs is because I think one of the main stumbling blocks that we have when we come to trying to understand God as Trinity is we make God a noun, a proper noun, but we make God a noun and a physical thing. And then when we try to grasp physical thing and physical thing and physical thing into one physical thing, that's where we struggle. Whereas actually, if we can think of God in a slightly more abstract way, God as an action, God as action, I think it's more helpful. Now, obviously, Jesus came in a very physical way as a man, but that was to reveal who God was to us. God isn't a man sitting on a cloud in the sky. God is light and love. These are all abstract concepts. So if we understand God as slightly more abstract as action in the world, where we see God working, then actually we can begin to use our imagination to understand how Father, Son, Spirit might be combined in action. That actually, Trinity is more about relationship between the three. It is not the three as such, it is the relationship between the three that is who God is. Now, the fancy early church fathers who did a lot of theology called this perichoresis. Do not worry about that word. but I thought I'd throw it out there for those of you who want to learn it. Perichoresis is describing an encircling, a constant indwelling relationship. Now, if we just ignore that word, it's just describing a dynamic relationship. You'll notice that I'm using my hands like this all the time. It's impossible to talk about the Trinity, I think, without using your hands like this, because this is what it's like. It's this constant indwelling, infilling. If you want to go back and read John's Gospel, where Jesus is trying to talk about it, he always talks about, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And then if you love me, I will be in you, and we'll send the Spirit, and the Spirit will live in you, and you will live in me. There's this constant indwelling that is going on, that is not one way. It is circular. It is more dynamic. And it is invitational. Another way that we that often the Trinity is helpfully described is as a dance, which is much more like this interaction. But don't get caught up in thinking that the Trinity is three people dancing. The Trinity is the dance itself, the movement, the connection, the relationship. And the joy of dance is that it's inclusive and invitational. More and more people can join in the dance. And we are invited to do just that. And as we are invited, we then receive all those actions and become part of the action, so that we are also filled as Peter was filled, to then be inspired to speak. As we are filled, we then speak. And then we act with love. We can share the love that we have been filled with. It's an indwelling and giving. And from that, there is then healing. The ultimate shalom, the healing of God that brings wholeness to the world. That is what we are invited to join in with. And that is what is beautiful and why I love talking about the Trinity. When we understand it more as a relationship, as something slightly more abstract, it becomes exciting, it becomes dynamic, it becomes something that is still going on now, and we can see it around us. We can see where God is acting. But enough of me talking, because actually the only way we're going to really grasp this is if we also enter into it ourselves. You can't just receive it from someone talking at you. So we're going to do, in our usual way for our all-age service, is have a way to respond in all sorts of, however you learn best and respond best. So there are, as usual, there's an active way, a reflective way, and a conversational way to respond. If you are more into the active way of responding, I had thought, if anyone's up for this, you could choreograph a dance. I was looking around thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't say that one because I don't think anyone will. And then I thought, no, who am I to judge that? So if anyone wants to choreograph a dance, it would be a beautiful way of responding and exploring, understanding God as that interactive movement. Go for it. There's loads of space back there. Or if you like making something, I have this, which is called, let me just check, I always get the name wrong, a flexagon. Okay, so it's two-sided, as in it's got a front and a back, and there's different colours, and as you come closer you'll see different pictures. The colours represent different aspects of who God is, but actually it looks like it's just two-sided, but if you do something very, very clever and flex it, you can suddenly create, she says, I practice this loads and then, of course, can't do it. Wait for it. A third colour. So there are three parts of this jigsaw, even though it looks like one whole thing. Anyway, that's something fun to make if you like that. As all things with Trinity, huge heresy in dividing God in this way. Please be gracious. It's just all these things that try and help us understand. So that's a creative way. If you think, do you know what, those are some huge things that Ruth has just talked about, I need to sit with them, please feel free to come and sit in the chancel. This will just be a quiet, reflective space where you can just sit with God and go, explain that to me. There are some pictures that might be helpful to guide you. There is a poem, those of you who read the newsletter this week, there was a poem I put in there that is out that might be helpful. It might not, please feel free to ignore them, use them as they might be helpful to you. Or if you think best whilst talking and sharing with each other, I just wonder how you understand God, how you relate to God, how you feel God. You can chat to each other about that. Or how do you think, what do you think about this idea of God as relationship, God as something more abstract? Have a conversation with each other. Whilst you're doing that, I have a quote from Richard Rohr, which I will throw in, which will just be on the screen that you can have a look at whilst you're chatting, which explores further this concept of if God is relationship, that actually we are made in the image of God. You can see God's blueprint of relationship all over the universe and the world. So the Creator, as part of that relationship, creates the world in relationship. Anyway, it's something to ponder on. Let's go explore the Trinity in all sorts of different ways, however you want to.